There are a lot of misconceptions when we start talking about the Bible and about church. I mean, one of the main misconceptions, of course, deals with salvation. There's the misconception that if people can do good things or try to do good things, somehow they can get to God. I cannot tell you how many times people have come into my office, and when we talk about salvation, they think that by doing good things or trying to do good things, they can get to God. That's a misconception. The truth is, it's only by grace through faith that we're saved. Jesus died for us and paid for sins. The righteousness that we have, nothing we could ever do could get us to God except putting our trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's a misconception about a church that most people think, or a lot of people think, the church is the building. They say, "Where's your church?" And they say, "Oh, isn't it on Western?" No, the church is, this is the building that the church meets in. You are the church, the body, and you're spread out all over this community. There's a third thing, and it has to do with money, and that is that the church, misconception, church wants your money. I mean, especially when you turn on the television and the people are always asking for money, and sometimes when you go to church, they seem to be asking for money, and they're saying things like, "We didn't make our budget, you must be giving more," things like that. There's that misconception. You know what the truth is? This local body wants you. We want you to make sure that you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We want your life to count for Him. And we want you to serve Him and make disciples. There are many misconceptions. As we look at the passage today, dealing with the gifts and the giving, we realize there are many misconceptions concerning giving. And I want to give you some of those. If you've been at Countryside for a good while, you've probably heard this before or heard some of these misconceptions as we've dealt with some other passages dealing with giving. But I want to give you six misconceptions. Some of these things you may have been taught. I want to give them to you, and then we'll talk about them as we go through the passage. There's a misconception that you're to tithe, that you're to give a tenth of your income. That whatever God gives you, if He gives you $100, you're to give 10. If you get $1,000, you're to give 100. That there's this idea that you're supposed to give a tenth of whatever you get. But the truth is, the average Christian in America gives 2.2%, so most of them are feeling very guilty because they're not giving a tenth. There's a second misconception, and that is pledges. That what you need to do is you need to ask people in your body to tell how much they're going to give for next year because we got to raise money. That's the idea. See, that's the misconception, that we got to raise money, so we got to have people make their vows, their pledges for next year. The third misconception is that you owe God. That part of what you have belongs to God. That you, and most people would say, well, you got 100%, 10% of it belongs to God, 90% belongs to you. If you don't give God your 10%, He's going to get it one way or the other. The fourth misconception is that money itself is evil. That is bad. And money is not something good to talk about, and money in itself, it's good to have, but it's really evil. The fifth misconception is you better tell people what they should give, because if you don't tell people what they give, they won't give at all. So you got to tell them what to give. And the sixth misconception is you give in order to get back. And a lot of times you'll see the television and they'll say, if you'll send to this ministry, God will bless you overflowing. It will go back to you tenfold and all of those things. Now those are all misconceptions. Let me remind you of some things. First of all, there is no place in the Bible that says you give a tenth of your income to God. Now, we're going to go back to the Old Testament in a minute. In fact, in the Old Testament, there are three tithes, not one. And it's a 30% and a 20%, and we'll talk more about that. But there's no place in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, that says you give a tenth of your income. We'll talk about that. The second misconception is this whole idea of pledges and vows. The Bible says be very careful when people make a vow, because it literally goes on to say it is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. And I want you to understand, we're not in the money-raising business. We're in the ministry business. We're not here to raise money. We don't need a pledge. We don't need to put you under a vow that you're going to have to keep if you make that vow. There's a third misconception, and that is that you owe God. Let me tell you this. Part of what you have doesn't go to God. All of it's God's. Everything you have came from God. Fourth misconception is that money is evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "The love of money hoards and holds. It is indeed the root of all evil. It dries up compassion of the soul." The fifth misconception is that if you don't tell people what to give, they won't give. That's not true. When people understand the grace of God and they understand biblical giving, they will give much more than if you put them under some kind of system and try to tell them what they're supposed to give. And the sixth thing, is that people think, well, you give to get back. I want you to understand that God gives you it out of His grace, not because what you give to Him. there is a truth that when you give away, you will be blessed. But that's not your motive. We saw last time, 2 weeks ago, that your motive for giving is an act of love, an act of trust, and an act of worship. And we'll see more about that this morning. As we begin today, realize that we are responsible to use wisely what God has given us. We're to know and to understand the Scriptures and do what God expects. Now, whenever we deal with the whole issue of giving, whenever we go through one of these passages, it's often perceived negative. Why? Because it's personal. It's personal on what you do with what God gives you. I mean, what if I said, listen, I would like for some of you to come up here and tell what you gave to Countryside last year? You'd say, wait a minute, that's nobody's business. And the truth is, it is nobody's business. But whenever you start talking about giving, it hits a personal note. And people go, well, wait a minute, it's what God gives me, So our goal is to show the truths and principles from God's Word concerning giving. And that's the key. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to do several things. First of all, we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. We're going to look at that. We're going to get a running start going back to verse 14 and sort of just put a flow through this thing and see what Paul says. Then we're going to just take a little bit of time and look at biblical principles of giving. We're going to look at both Old Testament and New Testament, how all this fits together, and give you some specific things. So let's begin. Let's get the running review. Go back to verse 14. And what we find in verse 14, it is good to give. Verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Paul says, it's good that you gave. And it is true that anytime you give what some of the part, whatever God gives you, and you decide to give it away, you've done a good thing. You're helping others. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it's a good thing to give. The second thing we find in verse 15 is that when you give, you're a partner. You share with others in the spread of the gospel. Look at verse 15. He says, and you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me. And the word shared there literally means partnership. No church was in partnership with me in the giving and receiving, but you alone. And we realize, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, that when you give money, when you give to Countryside, this church supports 18 different missions and mission organizations. We have the bulletin board over there. We have the bulletin board back there. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago to go look and look at the letters and look at the places that you are a partner with. And so when you give, you're actually helping those 18 different missions or missionaries to go not only in locally, nationally, but internationally. You're helping that. So you're in a partner with that. The third thing we saw is in verse 17 that giving benefits the giver. Look at verse 17. He says, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. There is a truth that when you give, God is going to bless you. It actually goes on, the way that was written in the Greek, it actually goes on your account that God will reward you for giving. So it benefits the giver. Verse 18, it benefits the one who receives. He says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. And I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. Now that makes sense that when you give, the person you give to benefits. And that's what that's talking about. Paul says, I'm full. I have abundance. I am amply supplied. I've received from Epaphroditus what you sent. So we've seen all those things. That it's good to give. You're a partner when you give. It benefits the giver. It benefits the receiver. There are three more things that we're going to see as we look through this passage. In verse 18, we're going to find at the very end that giving is worship. In verse 19, that we trust God when we give to supply our needs. And in verse 20, we see that God gets all the glory. Look what he says in verse 18, the very end, right after it says, Epaphroditus, what you have sent. It says that your giving is a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. See, giving is an act of worship. You know, when Lance got up here and he talked about this offering this morning, that's what it is. You are offering to God. And when that plate comes around, when you have the opportunity and the privilege to give, you are offering to God a sacrifice. It's an act of worship. Sometimes people don't think about it that way, but that's what it is. It is an act of worship. It's a sacrifice to God when you give it. Now, I'm going to come back to this, but if you are required to give a tenth, that is not an act of worship. If you are required to give a certain amount, that is not an act of worship. Notice we said this is the morning offering. It is an act of worship. And that's one thing to remember. And Paul said, I'm amply supplied. I've received from Epaphroditus what you sent. It is a fragrant aroma. It smells good to God. It is an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So when you give, You're worshiping God. That's a, we always talk about that, that when we study the Word and apply it in our lives, that's an act of worship. When we sing the songs and we sing them to God and sing them about Him, that's an act of worship. When we pray, that's an act of worship as we talk to Him. When you give, that is an act of worship. But there's a second thing. When you give, you trust God, because you've got to trust God that He will provide for your needs. Notice what it says. And my God, verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We've got to trust God that He will supply our needs. Now, I want you to understand that these Philippian people had taken up whatever it was, money, food, and sent it to Paul. And Paul says, thank you, I've got it, I'm full, everything's going great. Just remember this, don't worry, trust God, He will supply all your needs. When you give away, if you got $100 and you give $20, you're going to have to trust God that you can live on the 80 instead of the 100. You're going to have to trust Him. Giving is an act of trust. We talked about that several weeks ago. Notice what this verse says. It says three things. God is the one who supplies. My God shall supply. It is our needs, all your needs. It's not our wants. I mean, I want a lot of things. He doesn't supply all my wants, but He supplies every need that I have. And He will do that for you. And let me tell you this, our church gives away a pretty good bit of money. And when the board sits around and we talk about what to give and how to give, one of the things we say over and over is, we will never miss what we give away. And it is a truth for you, you will never miss what you give away. Because God will supply every need that you have. You don't have to worry about that. And then notice how, it's according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's going to His riches. Wow. So giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of trust. And then the third thing we find in verse 20 is that in all things, God gets the glory, whether it's giving or anything. Look what He says. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God gets all the glory, whether it's giving, receiving, whether it's worship, whatever it is, God gets all the glory. So we've seen three things. That giving is an act of worship, giving is an act of trust, and that in all of this, God gets the glory. Now, there's so many other things we could say. But what I want to do is to bring this together by seeing some biblical principles concerning giving. It's important that we understand these things. Now, if you want to write these things, and I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, just because of time this morning. I want you to see some things, write some verses down. We won't turn to everything. I will tell you what those verses say. You take your own time to go back and dig these things, but I want to teach you some things or show you some things from the Bible. Many of you already know this. But let me start with a big general principle from the Bible, and that is this, that everything that we have comes from God. Everything. Some people think, well, this is mine and this is God's. No, everything is God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, what did you get? What do you have that you did not receive from God? And the answer is nothing. Everything you have comes from God. Everything. There's a second big truth, and that's what I want you to understand. It's the whole idea of biblical giving, both from the Old Testament, New Testament, and how it fits together. And there's some misconceptions that we quoted a while ago, and I want you to see this. So we're going to look at both old and new, and I'll show you how this flows together. There are two kinds of giving that you're going to find in the Scripture, in the whole Scripture. One is what we call required giving. It's you give because you have to. And in the Old Testament, it was called tithes, and it's plural. We'll come back to it in a minute. And then the second kind of giving is what we call free will giving. Or it's also called offerings. That's a worship, by the way. That's an act of worship when you offer. It's always grace. So there are two kinds of giving. Tithes, required giving, and offerings, free will giving. Now we hear people say tithes and offering, those kind of things. They don't always go together. Let me show you what I mean. As we break this down, we want to look at there are three big periods, time periods in the Bible concerning giving. Before the law, from Adam and Eve to Moses, that's before the law, there's a certain type of giving. Under the law, from Moses to Jesus Christ's death on the cross, there's another type of giving. And then after the law, after Jesus Christ all the way to now, there's another type of giving. And I want you to see how that fits together. In fact, before the law, from Adam and Eve to Moses, free will offerings. From Moses to Christ, till His death, free will offerings and tithes, it's plural. After Christ's death on the cross, from now, from Christ to now, free will offerings again. And we'll talk about it, and I'll show you how it fits together, and I'll show you why it's that way. Let's start with before the law. From Adam and Eve all the way up to Moses, the law had not been given. Moses had not been gone up on the mountain and got the commandments and the laws and all those things. Everything we find was free will giving. Man gave as an act of worship. Man responded to God. It was an act of grace and a gift because it was based on the fact that he was responding to all that God had done, who God is. It was an act of worship. When you get into Genesis 4, at the very beginning, when Cain and Abel, they are bringing their offerings to God. When you go to Genesis chapter 8, where Noah gets off of the ark, after the flood, he gets off of the ark, he responds to how God blessed him and saved him, and he offers a sacrifice to God. It was an offering. In Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham, his name was Abram there, when he left the Ur of the Chaldees, crossed over, came to the land of what we call Israel, and God made a promise to him, said, I'm going to give you the land, the seed, and the blessing. What was his response? In Genesis 12, verse 7, he offered to God a sacrifice as an act of worship. So you find before the law, opportunity after opportunity, people respond to God and worship with their free will offerings. Now, a tithe is mentioned two times. One is in Genesis 14, and the other one is Genesis 28. Let me tell you the two situations. When Abraham came back from a war, from defeating these five kings, he was met by Melchizedek, who was a priest. And Abraham gave a tenth of his spoil from the battle to this man. Not a tenth of what he had, but a tenth of just what he took in the battle. And he said, let's give it to this priest, a tenth of this. The only other time it's mentioned is when Jacob is running away from his brother who's going to try to kill him. And when he's running away, he stops at a place and prays to God and says, God, if you'll protect me, I'm going to make a deal with you. If you'll protect me, I'll give you a tenth. That's the only two times. Everything else you see, it's an act of worship. Now, let's go to under the law. From the time of Moses all the way through Christ. Now think about the law. When was it given? Here's the children of Israel come out of Egypt and they go up to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on top of the mountain, gets the top 10 commandments, comes back down with the top 10. They break them all, so he throws them down and they break them and breaks them. He goes back up on the mountain, gets the top 10 more again, and then comes down with 600 and something more. And under that is a sacrificial system that God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to set up a system. You're going to make a tent and a place to sacrifice. Later it became the temple. He said, I want you to choose one tribe from all of these 12 tribes of Israel. We're going to pick the Levites and they're going to serve in the temple. And I'm going to ask you to set up a sacrificial system so that whenever you sin or anything like that, you can bring a sacrifice to me. And the Levites will be there to take all this. You remember when they divided up the land? They said, okay, Benjamin, you get this land. Manasseh, you get this land. Reuben, you get this land. But when they went to the Levites, they said, you don't get any land because you have to stay at the temple area and you got to offer the sacrifices. And so the priest might say, well, how are we going to make a living? How are we going to eat? And they said, don't worry about it. I'm going to set up a system in which the people give money to support the priest and the tabernacle or the temple. And he set up a system, two kinds. One, they still had their free will offerings, which they would come to God and offer to God worship, but he set up a tithing system. Tithes, not singular tithe, but plural. In fact, there were three of them, and we're going to talk more about it, but what the people were required to give so they could support that system. Now listen to this. I'm going to give you the verses, and you can look them up later, but under that sacrificial system, they not only freely offered to God as offerings and as worship, but they were required to give three tithes. Now listen to this one. Here's the first one. It's found in Leviticus 27, verse 30. They had to give what was called the Lord's tithe. Every year they had to give a tenth for the priest and the Levites. Every year, a tenth. Second, Deuteronomy chapter 12, they had what they call the festival tithe, and they had to give a tenth to the priest and the families coming to Jerusalem, another 10%. So I want you to understand, every year, every Jewish family gave 20%. 10% for the priest, 10% for the temple, and all those things. We're not through yet. Every third year, Leviticus 14, verse 28, every third year, they gave another tenth for the priest, the widows, and the orphans, and the strangers. I want you to understand, they were required every year to give 20%. 10 for the priest, 10 for the temple. Every third year, they were required to give an additional 10%. For the widows, the strangers, the orphans, and all of that. So every year they gave 20%. Every 3 years they gave 30% of everything. That's not counting their offerings to God. This was required giving. This was not worship. This was required. What was it for? To support the priest and that whole sacrificial system. That is under the law. You may have heard of Malachi where it says, bring your tithes and offerings where? To the storehouse of the temple. That's where they were supposed to bring it. Their offerings to God and their tithes. Now, at that same time, they still gave their offerings. You remember the story where the little widow comes in? Jesus is standing in the temple area, and the widow comes in and throws a little mite, as we call it, the widow's mite, in that little pot. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. That wasn't any tithe. That was her offering to God. And just remember, as long as there was the sacrificial system, as long as you had the priests, the Levites, and all of those things, there had to be both kind of giving, offerings and tithes, three of them. Now, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He died on the cross and He paid for our sins, and the Bible says that He's the final sacrifice for sin forever. There is no longer a sacrificial system. You do not bring sacrifices. You do not bring animal sacrifices. Guess what? We're back under the old system. We're under the offerings. And that's why when Lance was up here a while ago and he prayed, he talked about our offering this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, let each person purpose in their heart as they give, not grudgingly or necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. We'll talk more about that in just a second. So I want you to understand, the sacrificial system is gone. Therefore, the tithes are gone. You're under an offering system. Let me just say this. You should give more under the grace system than you would have under a law system. Let me just tell you that. Some people say, well, I'm off the hook. I don't give anything. I'm under grace. I don't give a thing. That's right. Some don't. You have the great privilege and responsibility to worship your God through giving as an offering. That's what He says to do. Now, I want to give you things, and we're going to go real quickly through this. I want to give you three biblical principles on giving, on how to give, the motive for giving, and the results of giving. Before we look at that, why do people have such a problem giving? Because let's face it, all charitable giving in the United States, all charitable giving, whether it's Save the Whales, Christians, everything, all added together, 1.7% of people's income. Christians who give in local churches and in ministries around, they give, on the average, 2.2% of their income. That means out of every $100 they have, they give just a little bit more than $2. Now, some people have been taught all their life they're supposed to be given a tenth, and they feel pretty guilty. Because most people, the average is 2.2. Now, I want you to understand, the average is 2.2, and some people are given a tenth, some people aren't given anything at all. Listen to this. I found this the other day. If every church member in the United States were to suddenly lose his or her job and went on welfare, and yet were willing to give 10% from the minimal amount that they receive from the public assistance, giving in the nation's churches would immediately increase 30%. That's true. There are some people connected with this body that have never given anything. I don't know. I don't know anything anybody gives. I just know it's true. There's some people connected with this body have never given one thing. Ron Blue in his article says, in an article in Moody Monthly, discusses why is giving really such a low priority in people's lives. And he gives three things, and here they are. Number one is they don't know that they have any funds available. Most people, they don't know. They don't know what their budget is. They don't know what money's going in and going out. They don't even know if they got any money to give. And so they don't give because they say, I just don't know, because if I give, I may run out of money. I just don't know. Second is they don't understand how to give. They don't understand the biblical principles, and that's what we're trying to teach. And the third thing is they don't plan to give. And what I mean by that is most people are responders in our giving, meaning then all of a sudden the plate's coming and they go, whoa, I hadn't thought about this. What am I going to do? Well, here's a buck. Here's $5. Here's $10. What we need to do is not be a responder in that sense, but realize what God has given and plan. So let me give you some specifics on giving, okay? Number one, it's free will. You give as God blesses you. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each person give as they purpose in their heart. That's a decision. That's a conscious decision. That's something that you decide. You take what God has given to you and you choose to give away. Now listen to what he says. He says, not grudgingly, I don't want to. or of necessity, I have to. You don't have to. You're not under any kind of law system. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you've heard me teach this before, but the Greek word for cheerful is hilarious. We get hilarious from it. That's what it means. God loves a hilarious giver. And so give free will. Take what God's given you and give. The second thing is it's got to be regular. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians 16:2 talks about that as you purpose and plan. And basically it says on the first day of the week when you plan. And that's what it talked about. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Now this is what happens. A lot of people pay all their bills, do everything they're going to do, and if they have anything left over, they might give. But the truth is they don't ever have anything left over. What you should do is take from the front end and trust God and give away. Now, pay all your bills. And what happens to most people in America is their bills are so great they can't give anything because they got everything tied up in their credit cards and everything that they own. So make it planned and make it grace. You give as an offering, as an act of worship. Now, let me give you the motive. And I talked about this, so I can go through fast. The first, your motive for giving is it's an act of love. It's showing your love for God and others. Second is an act of worship, as we saw in verse 18. It is an offering to God. And the third thing, and very important, is it's an act of trust. You're going to have to trust God when you give away something that you have, because you're going to have to trust Him that He will supply all your needs, as verse 19 said. You're just going to have to trust Him. It is God's way of raising His children. Listen, somebody said it this way. Giving is not God's way of raising money. It is God's way of raising His children. It causes you to trust Him and rest in Him. It's an act of love, act of worship, act of trust. Now, here's the third thing, and this is the key. The results of giving, and listen carefully, the result of giving is blessing. God will bless you. Now, that's not your motive. Don't make it your motive. Don't make your motive, I'm going to give to God because He's going to give me back. That's not your motive. Your motive is an act of love, an act of trust, and an act of worship. But it is a great truth in the Bible that when you give, God blesses you. 2 Corinthians says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Bottom line, the more you give, the more God blesses you. That's not why you give. But it's a truth from the Bible that He tells us. There's so much here. And my prayer is that you understand it. Listen, I never understood giving. I'm going to be real honest. I never understood giving before I went to seminary. I didn't learn giving in seminary from studying the Bible. I understood the Bible. I knew that I should give. But I coached at Mississippi State, and sometimes, I mean, in fact, I just didn't give away hardly anything. And when I got ready to go to seminary, and I got there, and I made a decision, I sort of realized, hey, wait a minute, I got to trust God for everything from now on. And I made some decisions on giving even when I got there. My income all the time I was in seminary was $450 a month. My rent was $325. I lived in Dallas. And yet God would choose in certain ways not only to take care of that, but He would give to me. And I made choices that whatever I had, I was going to give away a certain amount. Did you know that kept coming in and it kept going out? And I made it all the way through. And I learned to trust God. I learned that it was an act of worship, an act of love. I learned that God takes care of you and that it is a blessing and a joy to give. Now, this is coming from my heart. I'm not pouring, putting any pressure on you. I just want you to understand the joy. It is unbelievable that God actually give you stuff and you can turn around and give it away and it be used for the glory of God. And until you do that, you're never going to understand what I'm talking about. And it's an act of trust, an act of love, and an act of worship. Now, let me give you three quick things to think about. Number one, this is our application. Realize the blessings connected with it. It is so beyond what you could imagine. It blesses the giver, the one who gets the receiver. It blesses all those missions. It does all of those things. It's a great blessing. Understand the biblical principles. Look up these verses and those things in the Bible, because some of you have been taught all your life you've got to give a tenth. And I'm telling you today, you don't. I'm telling you just the opposite. I'm telling you why you don't give a tenth. You're not under that law. That was not a tenth anyway. It was 20% and 30%. If you want to be on that law, fine. You can give us 20% of everything you make and 30% every 3 years. Anytime you want, if you want to put yourself under a law system. But you're not supposed to. You're not under that system. Go back. Read those verses. You look through the Scripture because you are responsible for understanding how it fits together. And the third thing. And this is a hard one to say, but make some decisions concerning giving. Let me say it this way. If you're not giving anything, start giving away. Even if it's a little bitty to start with, trust God if it's just a little bitty. It is the greatest joy of your life to take what God gives you and turn around and give some of it away. Second, and this is a hard one to say again, but some of you, take the time, go over your finances, see what you're getting in, see what you're giving away. And let me tell you, if it's 1%, 2%, 3%, that's little. That's nothing. And some of you are going to be surprised. I had a man in the church just about a month ago come to me, and he started talking about this, and here's what he said to me. He said, JB, I make $50,000 a year, and I give $50 a month to the church. That ought to be enough. That's about 1%. That's nothing. And I don't care whether you give it here or anywhere. Learn to trust God in that area. Look at what you give away and see, when you stand before Jesus Christ, are you going to want to say, well, you know, I gave about 1% away, thanks. So check it out. That's hard to say. Listen, I just want you to see the blessings that the greatest blessings of my life are to give away. And Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And that is true. So just be wise at what you have. May God get all of the glory as we understand biblical giving and the blessings as we give. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. And Lord, I just love the people so much. And Lord, I just want all of us to understand the great truths of the Bible concerning giving. And Lord, we know in our society it's almost negative, and it's always negative to talk about giving. And yet, some people, Lord, who know the great blessings, it's just wonderful. And Lord, I pray that we will understand all of the blessings connected, that it benefits the giver and the receiver and the missions and all of these things. And they would understand the principles of how it fits together, both the Old Testament and New Testament, before the law and under the law and after the law and all of those things. And then, Lord, I just pray that we'll all be faithful to take what you have given to us. And it'd be regular giving, it'd be planned giving, it'd be an act of worship, it'd be an act of love, it'd be an act of trust. And that you would get all of the glory in all that we give and do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.